if it weren't for the dark history between Israel and Palestine. Since the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th, peace efforts between the two have moved even further from achieving true peace. You, I, or we may follow the developments of this conflict, whether by watching or reading analyses of events, most of which are obtained through social media. What narrative is being constructed? Israel is portrayed as the victim of Hamas brutality. Peace has been shattered by Hamas attacking Israel. That's the information we get. But what's often ignored is the ongoing reality of the never-ending Palestinian conflict. In the days following the Hamas militants' incursion into Israel, social media channels were inundated with videos and photos, making it difficult for people worldwide to distinguish between fact and fiction. Misinformation has proliferated across platforms like Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and others regarding the violence between Israel and Palestine. In this context, Israel has successfully portrayed itself on social media as the most persecuted victim. However, not everything is as it appears. Much of it is Israeli propaganda designed to cast the country in a positive light on social media. One young man exposed all this by claiming that Israel has spent approximately $7 million on YouTube alone to convince the public to support their oppression of the Palestinian people. This isn't just the ranting of a naive youth. In fact, Israel has long spent substantial sums on propaganda, not just in recent conflicts. In 2018, the Israeli government allocated over $100 million to support covert propaganda efforts combating anti-Semitism through illegal actions. AIPAC, one of the most influential organizations, is heavily involved in disseminating much of Israel's propaganda. During Israel's genocidal actions in Gaza, their deceitful propaganda efforts have been gradually exposed. For instance, a video once circulated showing a woman claiming that Hamas attacked Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza and stole medicines intended for children. In reality, she was neither a doctor nor a nurse from Al-Shifa Hospital. Many medical staff there did not recognize her, and her Arabic accent was highly inaccurate. It was later revealed that she was an Israeli woman pretending to be a nurse.
For a five-year-old boy, without morphine, because Hamas took it to themselves. Ya Allah.
During the attack, Al-Shifa Hospital was eventually destroyed, with Israel claiming that its soldiers found Hamas weapons inside. They asserted that Al-Shifa Hospital was being used as a Hamas military operations base. Their so-called evidence was a laptop they claimed belonged to Hamas. However, not long after, the original video was deleted by the IDF, Israel Defense Forces, and then re-uploaded. It turned out the IDF was attempting to obscure the fact that there was a QI-148 code, a standard label from the IDF's IT team, on the laptop charger they claimed belonged to Hamas. The leader of Hamas later revealed that IDF weapons were smuggled into the hospital by Israeli soldiers, disguised in boxes labeled medical supplies. The Israeli military also released claims of tunnels beneath Al-Shifa Hospital. The reality, however, is that these tunnels were bunkers built by Israel in 1982, a fact directly acknowledged by former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. On November 15, 2023, a verified account belonging to Eddie Cohen, displaying the Israeli flag, posted images of tunnels claimed to be used by Hamas. This, too, was a falsehood, as the tunnels in question were actually old broadcasting facilities in Sweden. Furthermore, this video had already been uploaded to YouTube in 2022. The exposure of Israel's deceptive propaganda simultaneously signifies the collapse of Hasbara, an Israeli program aimed at controlling, shaping, and distorting the narrative of every Israeli action. This part of Israel's war machine has now been dismantled by the international community, which is increasingly calling for justice for Palestine. This is the current issue in Israel. Netanyahu, who won the election, leads a coalition of right-wing parties. What's the problem with this? These parties tend to be conservative and ultra-nationalist. Previously, Israel had center-left governments that were somewhat more egalitarian and supportive of social equality, although they still frequently intervened in Palestine. Netanyahu's coalition partners reject the idea of a two-state solution with a peace formula where an independent Palestine exists alongside Israel, with Jerusalem as a shared capital. This formula has international support. A concrete example of the extreme right-wing government stance is reflected in statements by the Deputy Speaker of the Israeli Parliament, Nissim Vaturi, who called for "Burn Gaza now." Previously, the Minister of Cultural Heritage, Amichai Eliyahu, suggested using nuclear weapons in Palestinian territories. Are they the only ones? No. The Israeli Minister of Agriculture, Avi Dichter, referred to Gaza as Nakba 2023, implying the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Netanyahu's response to such serious statements has been limited to warnings. Worse still, Israeli children are made to sing songs supporting genocide, likely without understanding what it means. Eventually, the video was removed. Regarding children, Israel continues to build a narrative that Hamas kidnaps innocent children to use as human shields, forcing Israel to surrender. However, it is Israel that demonstrates hostility towards children. Israel is the only country in the world that prosecutes children in military courts. Another significant issue in Israel is that it is a racist state, despite its propaganda efforts to portray itself, especially to Americans, as a non-racist country. However, the law known as the Jewish Nation State Law emphasizes that Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people, granting them the right to self-determination within it. As a consequence, the Arabic language was removed from the list of official languages of Israel, despite being widely spoken by Israeli Arabs. Instead, Hebrew was established as the official language. Even more extreme, the law also addresses water rights. Rainwater is considered the property of Israel, and Palestinians are prohibited from collecting rainwater for either household or agricultural use. It's not just Palestinians who suffer. At the start of the millennium, African asylum seekers fleeing unrest in their home countries faced severe discrimination in Israel based on their skin color. They were given a choice: leave the country or face imprisonment. In practice, these migrants often experienced severe mistreatment and were labeled as infiltrators. Even in holy places, tourists frequently encounter unpleasant treatment. The situation worsens with the Western Wall, a sacred site being used as a place for scams. A journalist described Jerusalem as the city of deception, where many individuals pose as rabbis, selling blessing bracelets and soliciting donations under the pretense of supporting poor families in Israel. The narrative constructed to justify Israel's attacks on Gaza claims that Israel has the right to defend itself because Hamas has attacked and kidnapped civilians, especially children. Can this narrative be justified? The answer is no. Here's why. Let's touch a bit on history. Israel began expanding its territory in Palestine illegally by forcibly displacing Palestinian residents. This allowed Jewish migrants to resettle in Palestinian land. Due to continuous eviction and oppression of Palestinians, armed groups like Hamas emerged. It is Israel's oppression that actually forces the community to defend itself. Palestinians have been doing this up to now, although it may be considered excessive. Therefore, Israel's violence, which actually leans towards genocide, cannot be seen as self-defense. But what is strange is the stance of Western countries that, ironically, established humanitarian organizations and the International Criminal Court. When Israel violates all laws, far from criticizing or imposing sanctions, the West remains silent. Russia also declared that Israel does not deserve self-defense because of its position as an occupier, in response to Israel's genocidal actions against Palestinians, which angered Israel. This is also echoed by Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur. Israel can defend itself when its country is threatened by another state, which is not happening on the ground. The attacks Israel faces come from armed groups in Gaza, which is effectively controlled by Israel. Now, an interesting discussion arises. Is Israel's attempt to occupy Palestine related to the discovery of substantial oil and natural gas reserves in Palestine, valued at $524 billion? Perhaps, but perhaps not, as there is no solid evidence to support this claim. However, it is a fact worth considering, especially since there were reports that in the midst of Israel's massive attacks, the United States came to lobby Israel to develop gas fields in the Gaza Sea. In essence, no matter how strong Israel is, without the support of the United States and its allies, Israel would not have been able to sustain itself until now. Throughout the ongoing Israel-Palestine conflict, the United States has been actively involved in addressing the conflict between the two. As a superpower, the U.S. has the capability to act as a mediator in the Israel-Palestine conflict and possesses the power to compel both conflicting parties to come to the table for negotiations. However, in reality, over 60 years of American involvement has not only failed to de-escalate the conflict, but has also led to a deadlock. This is because America sides with Israel, causing mediations to fail and be ineffective. On the other hand, the U.S. is very strict when it comes to Russia. For example, Antony Blinken condemned the crimes committed by Russia, such as bombing schools, hospitals, and buildings. But when Israel does the same, the U.S. does not condemn these actions, and even states that Israel has the right to do so in self-defense.